O light of the world, shine upon us that we may reflect the power of resurrection in our life as a community of your disciples. Amen. Have you noticed that the first reading in this Easter season has not been from the Old Testament? Usually we have Hebrew scriptures. Some people are very happy. They're saying, thank God we don't have Old Testament readings because the Old Testament is the God of punishment. Be careful with that. It's not as easy as that. We wish it was that easy. There's not a split like that. There's very harsh God in the New Testament and the Old Testament. There's very compassionate and loving God. So that's not the reason we are reading from the Acts of the Apostles in the first reading. Does anyone know why? Or suspect why? You don't. You can't say. You don't count. No, you can count. It's usually we look at the past and we try to see from Hebrew scriptures how it comes to life in the gospel. But in the Easter season, we're looking forward. The announcement is, look at what the power of resurrection can do in the community. Look at the Christian community. See how if we truly just delve deep into the power of resurrection, look at what can do. So I think it's a beautiful message. The power of the resurrection that can transform hearts and communities and the whole world. And today, the gospel passage, I'm always preaching on the gospel, and I get the first reading of today from the Acts of the Apostles has a beautiful story. The problem with it, we're entering it midstream. We hear that Peter speaking says, while he was speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. That's cool. But this is the point. The circumcised believers, the Jewish believers, who had come with Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. They were surprised. Why? What was the surprise? Huh? What was their surprise there? No, but you had to be a Jewish. You had to be part of the people of Israel. You had to be one of those who are following all the rules and regulations of the Bible. So how can these people who are not following the word of God, how can the Holy Spirit be upon them? God doesn't do that. Wait a minute. God has escaped our control. And God is showering God's grace upon these people who are not part of our tribe, are not part of our little group. I want to give you a little story about how this event in the life of Peter started. Have you heard about Cornelius? He was a Roman soldier. And it's a beautiful story. Cornelius was a centurion. He had in charge 100 soldiers. He was a Roman citizen. He was a pagan. He was not a Jewish. He was not a Christian. But he was a man of devotion. He was a man who prayed, who sympathized with the Jewish religion, but not having converted. So he was still a pagan. And he was still a Roman citizen. He was part of the imperial army of Rome. So he was someone who was very prominent. He was probably a very wealthy man and a very devout man. He gave alms and charity. So he was a well-respected person in the community. And he lived up in a town called Caesarea. In one of his prayers, I think it probably was a dream, he had a vision. And he says, call and bring Peter to your house. He sends 3 men down to Joppa, where Peter lived. In the meanwhile, Peter was in the house where he lived in Joppa. He goes up to the roof. I think it was siesta time because he takes a nap up in the roof. It must have been very hot. So he's up there, and he has a vision, Peter. And the vision is the following. There's this big sheet that is coming from the heavens. And in this vision, this sheet is filled with all types of animals, impure, that are not supposed to be eaten by faithful Jews. They were non-kosher food. So he is receiving this vision, and he hears a voice with all these animals coming down in this sheet from heaven. And the voice says, "Peter, kill and eat." Peter says, "No, my mouth has never received anything impure. That the Bible says I can't eat those things." The voice says, "What I have declared pure, you don't declare profane." Three times he hears that. And Peter is, what in the world is this? Is God calling me to disobey the Bible? Because the Bible says it very clearly. I can't eat these things. But is this God? Is it the devil? I imagine Peter was all confused. What in the world is this message? Shortly after, the next day, Peter receives the visit of those three men who tell him, "My boss, the soldier, Cornelius, the centurion, he has received a vision. And is in that vision, you are invited to come to our house." Peter says, does this have to do with the vision I had? So Peter obediently goes and says, "Well, I'll go to the house." He meets with the family of Cornelius. And he says, "You yourselves know that it is unlawful for a Jew to associate with or to visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone profane or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came out without any objection." Peter then preaches to Cornelius, and he says, "I truly understand that God has no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him." Peter then witnessed these pagans, non-baptized, non-Jewish people receive the Holy Spirit. Peter is blown away. How can this be? They're not of our people. They're not of God. They're pagans. And they receive the Holy Spirit. How can that be? And says Peter, "Well, if God has blessed them, I'll baptize them." Peter goes back to Jerusalem and reports what he has seen. "Hey, I don't understand it. These are not Jewish people. They're not of the people of God. But God has blessed them with the Holy Spirit." I don't know. The others in Jerusalem who have not witnessed this. This is what the scripture passage says. The circumcised believers criticized Peter, saying, "Why did you go to uncircumcised men and eat with them?" Peter told them the story. "Hey, it's not me, it's God. God showered them with the Holy Spirit. Who am I?" This is what Peter says. As I began to speak to them, the Holy Spirit fell upon them just as it had upon us at the beginning. They received it just as we did." And then Peter adds, as a conclusion, "If God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God?" The leaders in Jerusalem responded, "When they heard this, they were silenced." They had nothing to say. This is a story, a beautiful story, not about the conversion of Cornelius. It was the conversion of whom? Of Peter. Peter is the one who is transformed. Peter is the one who is blown away by the generosity of God. Did you notice the collect prayer I said at the beginning? It said this: "O God, you have prepared for those who love you such good things as surpass our understanding." And I think that is what the gospel message is. It is always blowing up our minds. When we think we understand what God is about, God comes and throws it all away, and we're saying, "Wait a minute, God, I don't understand it." I imagine some of them were like with the Bible, "But God, you said in the Bible it says this. Why are you changing the things now?" That's what Peter was saying. "Hey, the Bible says, look, you're condemned. You're not supposed to be." And God says, "I don't care. I threw my Holy Spirit upon this pagan Roman soldier, and you are blown away." Precisely. You're the one who needs to change. You are the one who needs to open your heart and your mind, because the Spirit of God cannot be trapped by anything.
Such is the power of dreams and visions.
And is that an unpaid advice advertisement for a dream group? Yeah, the power of vision. And visions and dreams come into our lives and shake our foundations when we truly, the point is to truly listen to them. Cornelius could have had that dream, that vision, and not have followed through. But he trusted. He says, go over there to Joppa and find Peter. I don't know what this guy is. Peter could have well said, this is a crazy idea. This is from the devil. I'm not going to pay attention to it. But he paid attention to this dream, even though it went against to all that he had been taught, all the traditions he had received. It was going against that. But he trusted. And he followed his gut. And he went. He said, I don't understand this, God. But he went. And there, when he saw the power of God manifested in these people in Cornelius' home, he says, oh, I get it. Just as they had received the Holy Spirit, we received it too. What I have declared pure, you should not declare impure. What was I? Who was I that I could hinder God? All these teachings are not about the past. And I can imagine you can already figure out where this is going. For today, how does this message speak to us? In a world where there's such a tendency to put those who are in and those who are out, with the rise of nationalistic politics, with fundamentalism in religions, Christians who are so quick to point out who is saved and who is condemned. So many of us who love it, who love to point out and say, you're going to hell and you're not going to heaven. Have you seen the video of the Pope? There's this little boy and his dad, right? And this little boy, his dad is an atheist and he's died. And he goes to the Pope and says, is my dad in heaven? This little boy has been taught by us, the church, to doubt God's mercy and love. And he's really confounded. He goes and the Pope tells him, tell me about your dad. Was he a good man? Yeah. He allowed, even though he was an atheist, he allowed you to be baptized. Yeah. So he says, I trust your dad is in heaven. The little boy just in tears. It's a beautiful little video. And the Pope has got a lot of flack about that. Many in the more conservative tradition in our church have been, not our church, the Episcopal Church, the Roman Catholic Church, have been a little bit, this is not true. God can't be that merciful. God can't be that liberal and gracious and abundant in mercy. Today, we have to think, who are the ones we think we're in, the in circle, and who are outside? And God today is telling us, what you think is in and what you think is out probably is not real. There's a story I told a couple of you years ago about this priest who lived in France, and it was during the war. Probably you've heard this story many times, but I think it's a beautiful illustration of what this is all about. There was a group of soldiers, and one of their mates is killed in the battle. So they want to bury the body and probably after the war is, come back and get his body back. So they go to a church and they ask the priest, hey, our friend has been killed. We want to bury him in the churchyard, in the cemetery. Can we do that? And the priest asks him, is he baptized? So, we don't know. We didn't talk much about religion. But so, well, if he's not baptized, he can't be buried in the church. You have to bury him outside of the churchyard. The men were so distraught, so okay, sure, at least he's close there. So they dug a hole and buried him outside of the fence of the yard of the church. Years later, they go back to visit the tomb and see if they can take the body back home. They go and they look around, they're walking around the perimeter of the churchyard, around the fence, and they can't find the tomb. So we're sure, we put a cross and it was there. They can't find it, so they go to the church. Hey, They knock on the door. The old priest comes out. Hey, I don't know if you remember us, but we were here. We buried our friend who was, you told us to bury him outside of the yard, and we've been around the churchyard, and we can't find the tomb. What happened? So, well, after you all left, I started thinking, who am I to say who's in and who's out? So, one night, I just went out. I couldn't stand. I couldn't bear that thought. And I just unhooked the whole fence and just moved it forward. And he's now inside. Last season, we brought him in. I think for me, it's a beautiful story of what this is all about. Peter was blown away. He thought who was in and who was out, and the Holy Spirit told him, Peter, you don't get it. You don't get it. So let us today, as we receive communion, as we receive the bread and the wine, may we ask God, blow our minds away. Open our hearts, open our minds, so that we may discover the graciousness, compassionate love that surpasses all understanding. Amen.